Today, we have a unique guest who has turned laughter into a beacon of acceptance, awareness, and connection. Amber LeMay is the vibrant comedic force behind one of the internet's top drag show comedy shows, talk shows, Amber Live. With her charismatic charm, she has interviewed over 250 personalities, giving them platform to share their stories candidly and humorously from the heart of Vermont. I am thrilled to introduce and welcome comedian, drag artist, and the host of Amber Live, Amber LeMay. Here we go. Amber, I'm glad to have you on the show today.
Michael J., it's glad to be here.
We're going to start with the easy pedestrian questions, and we're going to jump into some thoughtful, fun, intriguing questions that I hope other people haven't thought to ask you before, and I certainly haven't, but let's do this thing. But I know on everyone's mind, one of the questions we have to ask and get out of the way is, how did you start your journey into comedy and drag?
Well, comedy, I'm the youngest of four children, so comedy was a natural. You know, to get attention, you had to get laughs. And so comedy was instantly into my life. But drag took a little while longer. I was in my mid-30s, and I was with a performance group called the Vermont Cares Cabaret Players as my male character, Bob, and some other people. And we would do cabaret shows. And one of my fellow performers, Michael Hayes, he and I wanted to perform more. So we created the Green Mountain Gay Boys, you know, being here in Vermont. But we found out people didn't care about the Green Mountain Gay Boys. But at the same time in Burlington, there were two drag queens, Cherry Tart and Reverend Yolanda. And they had two diverse styles of performance, and they were drawing in crowds and you know, people were laughing and enjoying their style. And Michael looked over to me and said, "We can do that." He says, "I have a degree in costuming." And he goes, "You can write material. Let's do it." And so we started performing in drag just because we like to perform and we like to entertain. And we found that was the best way to get an audience. And that was over 30 years ago, and I'm still at it.
So that's 30 years ago. And now for some reason, it's come up that drag is in the Senate, it's in the House, and everyone's like all of a sudden up in arms about drag. Why and how did it change over all this time from 30 years ago to now? And it's been longer than that, but for you.
I'm very fortunate to have done this in Burlington, Vermont. You know, at the time I started, Bernie Sanders was our mayor, then he became our congressperson, and now he's our senator. I still see Bernie on the street regularly, and it was very accepting. You know, it was Burlington's just this haven of, you know, we're in Vermont, we do what we want, and we allow people to do what they want. And so we became a part of the community. We only had one gay bar at the time. So that meant the gays, the lesbians, the trans, the bisexuals all just met in one small bar. And so we got along that way. But Michael and I, when we created, first we were the Sisters LeMay, and then we created the House of LeMay. We wanted to be more than just part of the gay community. We wanted to be part of Burlington and Vermont as a whole. So we started venturing out and performing for straight organizations and making appearances and just being, you know, just putting ourselves out there in the community. So people accepted us. You know, they said, "Oh, there's the LeMays." And it's been that way ever since.
Now, has the community's spirit or attitude changed over the last 30 years, or are you still accepted by the community? It's like, what is all this noise going on about drag queens?
No, we have had very little, if any, pushback here in Burlington or in Vermont. You know, there might be a protester here or there, but none of the organized hate that we see in other places. And there's not going to be any laws in the state house, in Vermont state house, that's going to do anything to curb the rights of drag queens or trans or gay people in Vermont. That's just not the way we do things here.
Why do you think it's coming up in other municipalities?
It's an easy target. We're different. And so, you know, bullies like to pick on people who are smaller and less, they feel that are lesser than them. And so it's easy to say, I've got problems. It must be their fault, you know, and, you know, let's blame them. And that's just not the way things should be. It's a bully. It's part of being a bully, and they're feeling threatened. You know, the majority of, well, America has been a majority white country for how many years? You know, 200 and whatever.
Heard about it.
And they know that, you know, in a couple of years, it's not going to be a white majority country. And they're scared. They're scared that the people who are a majority are going to treat them the way they treated the minorities. Yep. And so they've got to fight back now. And they're scared. I think, you know, they're scared.
I feel you on that. And I think the laws that we are creating, the things that we're creating, I talk about this with AI all the time, is the people are scared of AI because it's learning the way that we are. There's no other sport to learn. You know, so I talk about the role of comedy in tackling this issue, because we've got to get over this whole, like, you know, everybody's like a rapist if they're different than me. How do we do that? What's the role of comedy there?
Well, part of my weekly show, Amber Live, I've created a segment called Altercations. And what it is, it's a reflection back at those people who say that it's the drag queens and it's the gay community who are grooming children. And I present three people every week that are either, they're part of a religious community. They're either pastors, they're youth pastors, they're choir directors, they're teachers in a religious school who have been arrested and convicted of child molestation. And I often say, if you can prove to me that a drag queen did this, I'll report that as well. And you know, it was just 2 weeks ago, someone said, oh, yeah, there was a drag queen in Pennsylvania who was arrested. And so I researched it and I reported on that last week. It was someone who was arrested for child pornography, for possessing child pornography. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know, that's terrible. But how about these people who are actually doing damage to children? You know, it's not the drag queens. It's not going into a drag club that is threatening the children. It's kids going to church or going to school. And the parents are letting them do that.
Have you ever found somebody who's afraid of anyone in the LGBTQIA plus or drag community, and they have said, this child has been changed because they have watched a drag show, and oh my God, all of a sudden, their whole personality's changed, and I can't control them anymore?
Well, you know, yes, I have heard that, but it's for the good. They're happy about it. No, because their child has seen a drag performer, whether it be at a drag story hour or, you know, someplace else. And the child goes, oh, isn't that pretty? Oh, I want to do that. And I remember someone came up to me and said, their child saw me and they said, why is that man in a dress? And the parent said, well, you like to dress up and have fun, don't you? And the child said, yes. And they go, so does he. He likes to dress up and have fun. And so that just, you know, would explain to the child in such simple terms. And the child understood that.
I love that. I do. You know, you look at over in the UK, where men dress as women, and it's part of the comedy, you know, culture. And I don't think people are freaking out there like we are here, but I think some of our...
Excuse me, Michael. How about the final scene in Mrs. Doubtfire? What is she doing?
I don't remember because I have a superpower for getting things like this. But tell me.
She has a show where she's reading a book to children.
Oh.
How many people would say, oh, I love that Mrs. Doubtfire movie, but I hate those drag queens?
Yeah.
What's the difference? What is the difference?
There is no difference. And the purpose of me wanting you to be here today is to show that there is no difference. It's fun. And I want to jump into, let's have a little bit of fun for a minute.
Okay.
Okay. I really want to. I'm going to ask you some questions that I hope will just get the audience thinking themselves. And get
Is math involved? Is there math involved?
I can add a couple of math if you want.
No, please don't.
So if you could have dinner with any character from a drag performance throughout history, who do you think it would be?
Oh, my. That's an interesting question, which is someone says when they're trying to stall for time.
Well, you can talk to me about coffee and tea if you like.
Oh, you know, it's not, I don't know if I'd be drag performers, but it would just be someone who I've admired in comedy wise, you know, okay. You know, people like Phyllis Diller or Carol Burnett, someone like that. Cause that's who I model my persona after, is one of those physical broad, in all sense of the word, comedians.
Have you ever had any of the performers from RuPaul's show on your show?
Oh, yes, we've had several. Okay. Just 2 weeks ago, we've had Mrs. Kasia Davis, who was just on All Stars. We've had several. If you go on our YouTube channel, you can see the whole list of the RuPaul drag stars that we've had.
Okay. What do you think is the, like, if I was to say, the most unexpected or profound conversation that you ever had on your show?
Probably the butt doctor.
Really?
I can't recall his name right now, but it's a proctologist out in California who talks about butts and butt sex and the do's and the don'ts and the whys. And yeah. That was pretty interesting.
What do you have behind the scenes that you want to share with us that some things, maybe some things that didn't make the show? What do you got behind the scenes?
You know, we really don't. We the majority of our shows are live. So when they're out there, they're out there. And even when we record them, there's very little editing, especially in the interviews. We don't edit the interviews. Nope. We might interview edit the parts that we do in between the interviews. I have to do some comedy bits and some news items. And sometimes we need to I make mistakes. So we do edit that, but we don't edit any of the live interviews.
Okay. Let's keep it fun and simple. We'll use the word alien here, but we're talking about all kinds of people. How would you explain the concept of drag to an alien who just landed on Earth?
Well, you've landed on Earth and there are thousands of different categories of people. And drag is just maybe a combination of two or three different of those people. And so you don't know what's drag and what's different. They wouldn't know if what was what. So
they wouldn't, right?
Right. They accept us all. They'd either accept us all or kill us all. I'm not sure.
Exactly. What's the most unusual or like unexpected source of information that you found for your drag performance?
You say inspiration?
Yeah, unexpected, unusual inspiration.
You know, it's just when I say something that I don't think is particularly for you, I just say something off the top of my head, and all of a sudden it gets a big laugh. Mm-hmm. I go, oh, yeah, that's what you want to hear, huh? And so that, you know, it's great performing live. And we've always, when we do perform live in person, we tell jokes, we tell stories, and we sing live. So we have that immediate feedback. What we did with the House of LeMay is we created a backstory for all of our characters. And okay. We created Beaver Pond, Vermont. And we come from the hot damn trailer park in Beaver Pond, Vermont. So all of us have a backstory of growing up or living in Beaver Pond. And so that's just, you know, just gives us so much material to go by. In the fall, we do our leaf peeping, cider sipping review. Uh-huh. And in the spring, we do our mud flapping, sap tapping review. Because
there we go.
We have five seasons in here in Vermont. We've got winter, spring, summer, fall, and mud season.
That's awesome. You said a little while you see Bernie walking around every once in a while.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and he's tried running for president. If Amber LeMay were running for president.
I'm not running for president.
Yeah,
but
if you were, what would be your platform? What would you talk about?
Be nice to each other, you know, and that's what I believe Joe Biden, I don't know why he's not getting more credit, because he's a good guy and he's very positive, whereas the Republicans just, it's all negative. It's all blah, blah, angry, negative stuff. And I don't think people want to hear that. You know, I think they want, you know, Ronald Reagan, I disagreed with 99% of what he stood for, but he was positive. You know, he said it was morning in America. You know, we're here for a new start. You know, Barack Obama, a very positive person. Jimmy Carter, you know. But you get some of these people who are just so angry. And I, you know, that just feeds into other people. And we don't need that.
It really does. And it just, why? Just the question is why?
Because there are angry people who want to be pissed off at someone. Because they're, you know, Paris is Burning is, you say inspiration. Paris is Burning is one of my inspirations of what I do. And because it just fascinated me by these people, the people who were in Paris is Burning and performing at these balls, some people would say they were on the lowest level of society, but they were always looking down on someone else. You always, it's part of being a human being. You're always looking down on somebody. Yeah. And so I think the Republicans just, they need that. They need to feel that they're better than somebody. And they pick the weakest people they think, and they go after them. And and again, in Paris is Burning, that's why I created the House of LeMay, because they had all the houses there, because it created a sense of community among them. That's why I wanted to do with what we do.
Yeah. Let's just keep on this whole thing, because I want to uplift, break stereotypes and everything. But what is, like, you know, a myth or a stereotype about drag that you find that's amusing and you want to debunk?
They want to be a girl. I don't want to be a girl. I'm very happy being a man. I like being an entertainer. And if me putting on a dress and a wig can make you laugh, can make you have a good time, I'm all for it. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. Oh, they want to be a drag. Now, you know, for some people, drag is a step into transitioning. You know, and I understand that. Just like for some people, bisexuality is a step to living their gay life. I think that's a confusion for a lot of people.
Gotcha. That I totally understand that. And I think if you could just put it in terms of like theater for people, because that's really where it started, right? With the theater.
Well, yeah, Shakespeare, you know, the women weren't allowed to perform. So the men performed all the female roles.
Right. And just kept going. Then I remember reading about the 20s where you had the big drag parties, right? And everyone just showed up and showed out.
I was in a small town in Northwest Ohio, and I was in their old high school, and they had old pictures. And there were pictures from the 20s and 30s of guys in dresses. You know, they were having some sort of pageant for the little town. And you know, it was just accepted. You know, it was fun. It was silly. It was fun. And some people decided, well, it's not fun. It's threatening.
Right.
So, and people are jealous because they know we're having fun and they don't know how to have fun. And they won't let themselves have fun.
We're going to keep it on the fun side here today. Okay. I'm just loving talking with you. Okay. What's the most outrageous piece of fashion or prop that you ever used in one of your performances? What's fun?
Oh, my gosh. Early in our career, like 30 years ago, we used to go up to Canada. We had a camp site in Canada because we're just like 40 miles from the Canadian border. And they had their dollar store. Well, we called it the 75 cent store because our dollar went pretty well there. And so Priscilla Queen of the Desert had just come out. Uh-huh. And I don't know if you remember the flip-flop dress that was featured in that. Oh my gosh. So I started making a dress out of flip-flops. I would go up there and get, you know, 20, 30 pairs at a time. And we crossed the border. Well, what did you buy? Oh, some shoes. And they go, how much? Oh, $30 worth. And, you know, that was like 40 pairs of shoes. And so I made this dress, hooking them with shower curtain hooks. And it was this dress, you know, and it weighed, I bet you, 50 pounds, you know. And then I made a crown out of it. And that was my most outrageous outfit I ever
wore. Oh my gosh, that is awesome. So you've got the flip-flop dress, and you go, it's just fun. Now, I'm sure that threatens somebody. Okay.
Well, maybe if they have a foot fetish, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. So let's say you could design a course, maybe a curriculum, maybe it's going to be Drag 101. What would you teach inside that school?
How to be funny.
Okay.
You know, what works, you know, what doesn't, and to have fun. Yeah, I see many performers who just, they take it so seriously and they aren't having fun, you know? And to me, you got to have fun, because if you're having fun, the audience is going to have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you've got a group of people, they're going to go out to a drag show. Of course, no one's going to go usually if they haven't had someone that's going to drag them to the show. So what do you do to make people comfortable at their first drag show if you're taking them to a drag show?
Just tell them, you know, no judgments, you know, and just sit back and watch the show. And, if you have questions, talk to me later, you know, and we can answer those. But let yourself have some fun.
What's the one of the most fun things that you do at some of your shows that you've seen at shows that you really, really like?
Oh, it depends. You know, I like audience interaction, you know, whether bringing them up on stage to play some game or just banter back and forth with the audience. Because, again, that includes them, that it's just not my show. It's our show, you know, and we're all in this together.
So let's say you took the show, your show or any show you've ever seen, and it became a sitcom. Like, what would the sitcom look like, you think?
Well, we've often talked about there should be a sitcom about Beaver Pond, Vermont. You know, us living in our trailers and going about to the, you know, in the hot damn trailer park and going all to the different businesses there. You know, that would be a quite the sitcom, I think.
Do you know, I can't think of a show that has, other than, you know, the RuPaul show, that's been focused on like the drag community and so that people can actually see how fun it is.
You know, there's that one where the three drag queens go into the smaller towns. I haven't watched that. I don't, you know, it's not, I haven't for whatever reason. To do a backstory on the people who do drag, I think would be interesting.
I do too. I really, really do. So let's say you were, I've got this, I just had this picture. Because you're like so enigmatic. I love what you're doing and saying and being. If you could be the host of the Oscars, right? What do you think your unique twist would be to the ceremony? You're already doing the whole drag thing, but what else could you do that would be really fun and get people excited about the show?
Well, I think I'd have an advantage being my certain age.
You know? Your certain age, yes.
they're not going to object much to what this that old drag queen says. So I think I could get away with quite a bit. And that's another thing. Amber can get away with so much more than Bob can, you know, whether it be verbally, physically, whatever. And so that's another reason why I like being Amber.
I think that is so fun. I think there are a lot of people that would like to be able to, I guess there's people that have a mask and there's other people that want to wear a mask and they're afraid to take off the one mask and change mask like that. And drag as that, you know, you can do that.
Yes, definitely.
Let's keep it fun on the light side. This whole thing is about fun today. I love what we're talking about. I want to play a game with you. We're going to play a little bit of this or that. I'll give you two choices. You can choose one or the other, but not neither or both. And if you want to explain something, because it's like, I got to explain that, we'll jump into it. We'll start easy. We're going to get harder. And probably at the end, we'll get thought-provoking even, okay?
Okay. All right.
Let's start super easy. Sequins or feathers?
Sequins.
Okay. High heels or flats?
Oh, flats. I at this age, I wear sensible shoes. You see people trying to walk into heels. I'd much rather walk confidently in my flats, because if I'm wobbling like this, that's going to cause grow attention to something I don't want to. If I'm looking good up here, they're not going to look at my feet.
Okay. How about lip syncing or live singing?
Live singing.
Okay. Are you a good singer?
Yes.
Awesome. Day shows or night shows?
Night shows.
Okay.
Well, there was, I think it was Nebraska or Iowa, wanted to pass a law that no drag before noon and none after midnight. And I go, I can deal with that. Okay. Okay. I want to go home and get to bed.
Yeah, exactly. First thing I thought of, it's like, I'm cool with that. Oh my gosh. Let's go a little harder. How about performing in small, intimate venues or large stadiums?
Oh, small. I want to see their faces. I want to hear them comment. I want to feel the love.
Okay, that's awesome. How about traditional drag or pushing the boundaries?
It depends on what you mean by traditional drag. You know, I am not a female illusionist. You know, no one's going to say, oh, they're trying to look like a woman. No, I'm trying to, I have my own character. You know, Amber is more than binary. You know, she's multinary. But I do like some of the outrageous stuff. If you've been watching the All-Stars, you know, Jimbo has been doing some pretty outrageous things that are more clownish than drag. So that's a fine line. I don't know.
Okay. Let me see. How about local fame in Vermont or global recognition?
I'm happy being a semi-big fish in a semi-small pond.
Okay. How about a drag performance in the past or a drag performance in the future?
Oh, you know, I plan on doing this until I can't, so I'd say future.
Okay. Let's get a little harder. How about forever performing but never watching other shows, or forever watching but never being able to perform?
Oh, I have to perform.
There you go. That's fun. One spectacular drag outfit for the rest of your life, or mediocre outfits that changes every day?
You know, I don't know if you can tell, but this is one of my new creations. Mr. Jeffrey made it for me, but it has all these are my faces.
I was going to ask you, because I was looking at it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just love this. Yeah.
And I wear it for my personal appearances that I do, and for when I judge things. And I'd be happy to wear one fabulous outfit.
What's this necklace that you have on? What is this?
Oh, it's just tawdry beads.
Okay. Okay, a little harder. How about a world where everyone understands drag, or a world where the mystery and allure of drag remains?
Well, you know, I think I like the allure and the mystery, but I think with that comes people who don't understand and would have negative thoughts or actions toward it. So I guess understanding.
Yeah, understanding. I wish we had that now. How about being famous for your comedic talent or being famous for your drag persona?
It's interchangeable.
They're the same. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go thought provoking about the right to perform in drag anywhere, but no one can see you do it professionally, or only professional drag performers can perform, but they have limited venues.
Okay, you're going to have to repeat that. That's pretty okay.
So the right to perform in drag anywhere, but no one can do it professionally, or only professional drag performers can perform, but they have limited venues.
Oh, the first one. Everyone, yeah. If you want to do drag, you should be able to do it.
Okay. How about living in a world where drag is the norm, or living in a world where drag is still a rebellious art form?
I think it's both right now. You know, it's an art form, but it's also a form of rebellion. You know, one of the things I've talked to, you know, on my Amber Live show, I've talked to drag queens from all over the country who have had their shows either canceled or interrupted by armed Proud Boys.
No,
And this is happening, you know, and pride parades being canceled, and, you know, drag establishments being barred and closed. And one of the things I said is, so drag queens have to get off the stage and into the streets. You know, we've got to be out there. We have to be rebellious because we're being attacked. And if we just sit back and let them, or think, oh, our fans will take care of us. No, we've got to be out there in front of people.
Oh, gotcha. I got two more for you. About having the power to change the history of drag or the future of drag?
Oh, the future.
Okay. And how do you want to see it in the future, by the way, just to make it clear to people?
Accepting, and just that it's no big thing. Oh, hey, there's a drag show. Instead of, oh, my God, there's a drag show.
Right. Oh, my God, there's a drag show. It's like going to the karaoke bar. It's like, you want to do karaoke or go see the drag show? It's like, or karaoke drag or drag karaoke.
I've hosted karaoke drag before.
Yes. I can only imagine how fun that would be.
I hosted karaoke for like 14 years. I've hosted bingo, you know, trivia. But
I love karaoke. I used to host karaoke, and it's so fun.
Yeah. You know, and people say, oh, they can't sing. I don't care.
I don't care if they can sing.
I don't care.
Yeah. I used to have a saying, it's not about the singing. It's all about the love.
Yes.
I don't care if people can't sing at all. I just want the audience to clap like the rock stars.
Yeah.
Okay. One last question. Let me see. A world where everyone accepts drag but doesn't understand it, or a world that doesn't accept drag but tries to understand it?
As long as they accept it. I don't care if they understand it. You know, live and let live. You know, just I see people every day who I go, how in the hell are they living? But none of my business.
I think the live and let live. And I really do wish people were more open to talking to everyone. You know, like, here's my opinion. Here's your opinion. I understand you. I heard you. You know, that's what I really want to see people do these days. I have loved our conversation here today. So I want to really, really, really thank you for coming on. I want people to be able to get in touch with you. And so they can get in touch with you at amberlive.tv.
Yeah, that's our website. Yep.
Yep. And you're all over are you doing Threads now? You like it?
I have a manager who does that stuff for me.
I gotcha. But you're on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok
at yes.
Amber LeMay Live.
I bet you we're on Threads.
Yeah. Yeah. Threads just came out. So you're like on the cutting edge.
Yes. Yes.
And of course, you've got Facebook.com. You're on Amber LeMay Live.
Yes. And yes.
This should be easy for everyone to remember. YouTube.com. Oh. Amber.
And on our YouTube, we've got all of our 160 some shows, but also the individual interviews, as well as our comedy bits and our other stuff that we do. So there's a lot of material there on our YouTube channel. So if you get bored sometime and you just want to laugh, we've got some interesting guests as well. So just click on Amber Live on YouTube.
I'm going to leave that up there so people can find you and sprout out and go from there and find everything about you. Thank you so much for being on.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's been a pleasure.
This is great. Everybody else, I will see you in the future. Thank you for being here. Bye, Amber.
Bye.